In this talk, I would like to enter into the esoteric meaning behind the facts and figures of time. We are now facing a crisis and an opportunity within the ending of this galactic time. And I'd like to explore the personal preparation for this shift. And your book, The Mayan Factor, was a major study of mine back in the 80s. And I have to say, I'm just so honored to have you in my home right now. It's just quite amazing, because this point in time, as you know, is so significant. So my first question is, you know, it's like we all realize the 11th hour is upon us. And do you really think that if the world retunes to nature's harmonic time frequency by following the Mayan calendar, that this new frequency will heal the chaos and darkness in the human mind that thrills on molesting innocent children, gang raping women, and cutting down the ancient forests, and religious genocide?
Yes, I do believe that. I believe that all of nature, all of the universe already exists in this healing, vibration of the natural timing frequencies. And we are so far off galactic center, off cosmic center, off divine center, that by merely contemplating making the switch, you are already changing your mind. By really actually committing to making the switch, you are changing your mind. And by living the switch, you are changing your mind and your life. And this is the only, what I would say, wholesale solution to the terrible drama that is now playing out on Earth. There is no other solution that includes all the masses of humanity in making a switch and making a change by adopting a new calendar and entering into a new time. As I said, there's two aspects: the commitment aspect, and then actually what happens when you enter into the new time. It's like you're standing on the beach and you know what it's like there, but then you actually go in the water and it's something very, very different. I've talked to many people, and people who deal with disturbed children and with disturbed adults, and they understand that there's a great increase in this type of trauma and victimized crime. And that they see that there's a real possibility in adopting the Mayan calendar and adopting the whole system, where we get a new identity. See, that's the point. One of the points of the calendar is that you are actually getting a new identity.
There are many people who would rather hang on to history than to face social anarchy.
That's absolutely correct, but those people, notwithstanding, they do not realize that the social anarchy will engulf them, and their basis for resisting positive change will be gone. And now this, I predict, will be happening increasingly over the next 4 years. And those people who are committed to the new time and who are drawing on the force of light must be ready to, at all times, always be ready to aid and assist those who find that the social anarchy finally is too overwhelming, and that they must move into a position of positive, constructive, a harmonious attitude, which the program of the new time provides.
The ancient prophecies about this point in time and the collapse of history, do they also speak of another Earth? Did the visionaries see two Earths existing simultaneously, and is 2012 a separation or a division in time and space? In other words, is there an opportunity for a link up with another Earth plane that holds the consciousness of love, peace, and harmony?
That's really an interesting question. In the 1980s, before the harmonic convergence, I wrote a poem that began, within the Earth we know there is another Earth. This Earth, this other Earth is waiting for us, though we know it not. And this, that's an interesting, question. You know, the Bible and the Quran both speak of there being a new heaven and a new earth after the time of after the time of trial and testing. I believe the actual separation is about to begin. Actually, will be beginning this summer at the midpoint, the July 25th, 26th point, that the separation of the worlds will be occurring, and that those people who understand and who enter the new time, which is like what it says in the book of Revelations, chapter 14, the 144,000 will hear a new song. And that new song is actually the song of the new time, the 13 moons. And those people will begin to lead the mainstream of humanity into the direction of this new earth. And it just may well be that when we reach that point of 2012, that the new earth, which is purely in the fourth dimension at this point, will interface then with the present earth, and there will be an experience of the renewal, like putting on a new garment. I think that's very, very possible.
James Twyman said that at the peace concert last month in Iraq, you and a Native American spiritual leader connected in some way that actually fulfilled one of the ancient prophecies about this time. Would you tell us about that?
Yes, that has to do with what are called the people of the dawn. The people of the dawn, there's two when we have the dividing line of history, then there become two peoples. One is the people of the book, those who are following civilization and the religions that are written down in books like the Bible or the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran. And then there are the people of the dawn. Those are the people, the indigenous people, the aboriginal people. And so when the people of the dawn come to the place where you might say where the book originated and where the people of the book are still strong, when the people of the dawn come to that point and meet, then you have the meeting of the people of the dawn and the people of the book, and that fulfills the prophecy, the Mayan prophecies, and I also believe some of the Native American prophecies of coming to that point in time where we have like completed the circuit, and now we are ready to go into the new. That's why I say as of this summer, the separation will begin, and this is why it's so important to understand the entry into the new time as the preparation for 2012, when the new heaven and the new earth come into existence.
Major spiritual teachings say that the human life in material existence is only a dream. So your personal life story is not important, and your actions are not important. But from reading your book, I see that our personal life is very important because it could support the material resonance of the mind of God. Is your individual or our individual chosen life story of maintaining love, peace, and harmony important to the galactic story?
It is absolutely important to the galactic story because we find ourselves as spirit or soul in these dense forms, these bodies, and the spirit has incarnated over long eons of spiritual involution, and now the drama that's occurring right now is that we're turning around in the deepest seat of consciousness, and now the spirit is going to be evolving back through the matter, but as it evolves back through the matter, returning to source, its responsibility is to spiritualize the matter. As it spiritualizes the matter, then we get to a yet further future point where the matter becomes completely spiritualized and the universe is totally a spiritual universe are no longer matter, but it is our responsibility to the matter in which we have incarnated to spiritualize that matter as we begin our ascent and evolution out of it.
In the past few months, we've endured some powerful sun storms focused directly onto planet Earth with intense heat. Is the sun preparing us now for this harmonic shift in time?
Yes, exactly. This is going to be increasing. I think probably we'll begin to see even more dramatic solar effects between 2005 and 2007, which will have a great impact on the technosphere, on the whole artificial structure of civilization, which will not be able to withstand at all points the stress of the solar effect, and that will contribute to the breakdown of the old order. And this again is why I spoke earlier of the necessity of the people, the light workers, and the people who are committed in following the new time, to be ready for these kinds of changes. So those who can make the choice to go into the direction of the new heaven and the new earth have the opportunity. Those who can't make the choice just won't make it. And the one other thing I'd say about that these solar changes will be climaxing in 2012 and 2013, and then there will be a period of stabilization. But at that point, that's when the new heaven, the new earth will come into being, and all of matter will be just a little bit more etherealized.
The ancient scriptures in the Bible speak of a returning of the Messiah, a heavenly forgiveness, and an upliftment of the dead out of purgatory. And there's no question that purgatory exists right here and now on earth. So will those souls who choose to remain asleep in false time just automatically be lifted up in the galactic sweep of resonance? Like, will celestial grace automatically lift people out of their battles of judgment, even though they've chosen not to forgive others who think differently about God?
That's an interesting question. I don't know that I can honestly answer that, because I can't presume to know ultimately what God's intention is. And all I know is that what I've been appointed by God to do is to announce and proclaim the new time, and that it is my understanding that by entering the new time, if we can actually affect a mind shift through the new time, that it may actually have a great impact on lifting up at least a good many of those souls who at this point choose to remain in judgment and a dualistic division.
You say in your book that the realization of the whole implies direct conscious communication via the local star with the galactic core. Intelligence that reaches this stage is called diviners of harmony. And if this intelligence or awareness extends throughout the star systems, the galactic matrix is woven into a web of self-reflective intelligence. So are you saying that at our point right now in existence, God is not conscious, not yet self-reflective, or is the material body of God not yet conscious?
Yeah, the material body of God is not yet conscious, and the when we're talking about the attainment of the noosphere as the next evolutionary stage of the planet, then we have that self-reflective consciousness. Some individual beings may possess that whole system consciousness and be completely in contact with the divine intelligence as it streams through the sun from the galactic source, which is emanated from God. But until the entire organism, the entirety of the human organism is in that state, in the noosphere, in the purely conscious noosphere, until that point has arrived, then we don't have that state. Once we do arrive at that state, then that's why I say that's what now I speak of is the beginning of the galactic culture, the galactic mind, and the entry into the galactic civilization, which is described in that quote that you just read.
You write that at the end of the cycle, we shall recognize ourselves as human no more. What will we see ourselves as?
Well, we may see ourselves more as a new race of earth wizards rather than as human beings, and we'll realize what the limitations of thinking of ourselves as human were, and that as earth wizards we will be diviners of harmony and repositories of the gifts of galactic civilization.
So, more than just tuning into the original time of nature, does ascension require some level of responsibility for the individual, such as maintaining a golden mean ratio in the heart, a heart of human compassion?
Yes. The step of entering the new time of following the calendars is an essential pragmatic step, and it's the first step to actually beginning to change your thinking, changing your attitude, and changing your perceptions. But along with that, you have to make an experience of deep spiritual commitment, which can be attained through what I found most easily attained through Zen type of meditation, where you are able to relax your egotistical fixations and enter into a more cosmic state of consciousness. But there has to be that commitment, and along with that, when you have that experience, that you realize that in the state of harmony, in the state where you have annihilated yourself or your ego, as it were, that you are one with all that is, and so you actually then experience and understand the importance and the necessity of an absolutely universal, selfless compassion, which is the complement of universal telepathy.
You've said that aspects of existence fulfill a need or a purpose for the universe. In our material world today, with humans who believe that attraction involves having a facelift and serving God is killing another, what role does the human play as a shape of consciousness at a particular resonant frequency juncture? I mean, what possible momentary need are we fulfilling for the universe other than destruction and chaos and condemnation of Earth's nature?
Well, this is what we experience in everything you're describing there is like a very, very minute slice of a spectrum of universal galactic possibility, which is playing out what is actually the destructive and self-deluding nature of things is just the final remnants of the resistance to the complete fulfillment of the soul. And that actually, all those processes are a wearing away. But as we know, the soul is immortal. Death is not the end of the soul. So what appears to be a destruction is actually a liberation of energy that is being released and then is going into a reservoir where it is waiting to be retapped and recycled. The tapping and the recycling of that energy, that is the responsibility of those who have truly and genuinely aspired to their divine godhood to become the selfless, compassionate interpreters of reality.
So you suggest that the Maya, the diviners of harmony, are returning, but not as we might think of them. How are they reappearing?
Well, whoever actually gets totally, totally immersed and understands and follows through the new time, which is actually a conscious participation, something that we've only just come to know about, a conscious participation in the law of time. When we become conscious participants in that law of time, when we are actually exploring the whole synchronic order of reality, we're galactic Mayans returning.
Your pen name now is Valom Votan, and is that you at the galactic level of consciousness.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And the coming to that particular coming into bringing myself to that point where that identity could become fully formed in me was a very, very long process, and it really became perfectly crystallized in 2002 when I was honored at a ceremony on top of the Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan outside of Mexico City. And then that I had been aware of that identity for about 6 years or so, but then it became crystallized, and I was given the initiation and the responsibility to absolutely fully embody that entity, that identity, so that I could complete my responsibility as the closer of the cycle, which is really what the Valum Votan means, is the closer of the cycle. That means that I am embodying and incarnating what's referred to as a galactic Mayan mind transmission. In order for that to be fully grounded in the earth plane here and to complete the ending, the closing of the cycle, it also has to be passed from myself to another being, to another entity who represents the regeneration of the cycle. And this is why at this point I also had to recognize that I had a successor, an apprentice, which is the person accompanying me right now, Stephanie, who read Electric Serpent, who is also known prophetically as the Red Queen. The Red Queen is the name of the person found in the tomb next to the tomb of Pakal Votan in 1994. And so through my apprentice, the successor, the Red Queen, then when we get to 2012 and 2013, then all the galactic mind transmission passing through me will be reposited in her, and then she will take on her full responsibility with the what will essentially be the new race of beings.